At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily, and we are glad to be with you here on KFH, on 12 News Connected, all the great places that you take in the show. You can leave us video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X. It's all available for you right there, whether you're at the palm of your hand, on maybe your cell phone, all of it. Tim Fitzgerald's going to join us in this hour. We will talk a little K-State football. Tommy, get ready, I guess, for Aer Lingus, which is getting here pretty close. We'll continue the conversations here around the NFL. We'll check in with Chiefs camp as Travis Kelce talked yesterday. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring free mini homemade root beer floats with any kids meal purchase August 4th through 8th. That means you've got until Friday for a limited supply of WBC keepsake mini mugs that will be given out. Hurry in today, WBC. It's pizza and root beer made here. We are talking about the Micah Parsons situation. It is, to me, the most interesting thing happening right now in the NFL because you can sort of pick a side on it, right? I don't think there's a consensus on this one. So we'll continue that conversation here. And then I think that gets us through the main NFL training camp headlines of yesterday. Remind me, Tommy, on this. Do you think the Cowboys should do this? I know you think they will. Do you think they should?
Yeah, I think that they should. I think that they should get Micah Parsons signed, get it locked up, if for no other reason than to just like put this to rest and they can focus on the season. It's always boggled my mind that for the Cowboys, they just, and I know it's Jerry Jones and he can't get out of his own way, but they love the circus. And I'm like, play football. Play football and let the play on the field do the talking.
So I don't think they should. For the listeners that haven't heard our conversations on this, I do not think they should make Micah Parsons a $45 million defensive end. I don't think it's the best thing for this team. It's nothing against him. Do I think he should be the highest paid defensive end? Sure. I just don't think it should be for the Cowboys. I think it should be for somebody else. Dallas is not going to win or lose a Super Bowl, in my opinion, because of Micah Parsons. They need to be much better all over the defense, and they need, like, Dak's going to have to be great. So I went back and I looked, and CeeDee Lamb's situation was pretty much the same. He was holding out instead of his fifth-year option. Yep. Now, that never bled into the point where it was really going to cost him a lot of money, but he basically decided not to play fifth-year option. Now, he was making significantly less. You know, it's about 40% less than Micah Parsons would make this year on his fifth-year option. So that's something to consider. But it was a bold move by CeeDee Lamb that played out. And I think until Micah Parsons leaves the field, the Cowboys aren't going to do it. The question becomes if he did, and maybe, you know, this is where you'd have to leave it to him to kind of determine that. But if he holds out, the risk if you're Parsons is you're walking away from $25 million. You're walking away from hitting free agency. I don't think it's as urgent as CeeDee Lamb was at the time. I think they made their bed with Dak Prescott, and that's what made CeeDee Lamb a necessity. I also think the league is more catered to the wide receiver right now. I just, $45 million to one guy in one spot, I just don't think that's the, I don't think that's the best use of the money. I just don't.
I feel like they absolutely have to have him defensively. And the reason I say that is because really outside of him, I mean, he's obviously the most premier guy on that defense. They've got Diggs and they've got, you know, a few other, you know, players, but it's Micah Parsons' defense. If you're committing all of this money for Dak Prescott and you're committing all of this money for CeeDee Lamb, then you feel like you've got a team right now to win. And if you're going to walk away from Micah Parsons, if you're going to trade him and get draft capital, then you're, I guess in that theory, you're kicking the can down the road and you're going to try to get better in future years. Well, if that's the case, then why did you spend all this money on Dak Prescott for this year and CeeDee Lamb for this year and go out and acquire George Pickens and all of these different things to win right now if all you're trying to do is get draft capital for future years with Micah Parsons?
Dak Prescott's only 32 years old. So it's not like the window is closing on the Dak Prescott era. It's just,
but you didn't have to sign him when you did. Like the fact that you're paying him right now for that. The window may be open for a few more years, but it's also open right now.
I cannot believe that deal. Dak was already under a big contract. Like we'd already done this with Dak, right? They already did all this. The fact that he did it again blows my mind. That was one of the, I can't stand the fact that they did that. Don't misunderstand. My point is their defense this year isn't going to be good enough with Micah Parsons on it. So in knowing that and being realistic with that, and I doubt that's the way the Cowboys are thinking, but that's the way I'm thinking about it analytically. Like if they're not going to be good enough defensively anyway, then having Micah Parsons next year as a $45 million defensive end is not the best thing for the defense. They will be better served to have the draft capital and the money to spread out over a number of players. That's to me, that's the realistic play here. I love Micah Parsons, the player, but he is like a defensive end does not cure everything on a defense, whereas a quarterback can kind of cure everything on an offense, right? But a defensive end's not going to do that. So, and Brandon says, why double down on a mistake? And I assume Brandon's referring to the Dak Prescott contract.
I think he is. I can answer that. I think you double down on the mistake because otherwise you're admitting that the Dak Prescott contract was a mistake, right?
Saying if they made a mistake signing Dak, you're admitting, why do it again?
You're admitting then that that's a mistake to sign Dak Prescott.
Well, I don't think you're admitting. He's 32 years old.
That becomes, in my opinion, that becomes a sunk cost if you move away from Micah Parsons. Like I've said this before.
You think Dak becomes a sunk cost?
For this year, absolutely it does. If you trade him away for future draft picks, Micah Parsons, then this year for Dak Prescott, the contract that you paid him, the money you're paying him, is a sunk cost. Like
what? What would you put the Cowboys win total at this year, assuming they have Micah Parsons and everybody on board?
11.
What do you think it would be if they didn't have Micah Parsons?
9.
You think he's worth 2 wins?
Sure.
I don't think he's worth 2. I think it'd be more like 1 win directly. But even if that's the case,
do I think they go as far in the playoffs without on a game by game basis without Micah Parsons? No, I don't.
How far do you think they go in the playoffs with Micah
with
Parsons?
With him? I don't think they win the Super Bowl, but I think that they make a run. I mean, I with Micah Parsons, I think that they're talented enough on both sides of the ball that they divisional round, maybe.
I think Dak has one right career playoff.
Yeah,
win.
Maybe divisional. A lot of it's unknown too because it's a brand new coach. Like we don't know really anything about Brian Schottenheimer.
But I also honestly, and that's a good point. I feel that way about the defense too. Matt Eberflus as a defensive coordinator has been fantastic in this league. So that's the other thing for me that keeps popping into my head. Like for me, I'd rather just take my chances that he's a better coordinator. And I just want that $45 million to use on 3 or 4 players. That's what it is for me. Like this year, because there's not a lot of options out there this year. But next year, a contract's going to kill him. Now, here's the other part to yours and other. They have money. They have cap space. They have. That's what the Cowboys are terrible at, right? They're a great drafting team. They're horrible in free agency. So that's the there is this part of me that's like, well, if they don't use it on Parsons, they're just going to screw it up wherever they do end up using it.
Yeah.
That's a free agency, though. But they are an incredible drafting team. So giving them more high-end draft capital, I do think their best path to a good defense is more draft picks and Eberflus than it is Parsons and no money.
To be completely honest with you, had they not signed Dak and had they not signed CeeDee Lamb, had they not done either one of those things, my opinion may be completely different on whether or not they should cave on Micah Parsons. You know, there's a precedent now where they're paying players and they're giving them contracts and all of that. And before they needed to and all of that, I think they painted themselves into a corner. And knowing the context of the situation and knowing where they're at right now and the contracts they've already given out and all of that, I think they've painted themselves into a corner. And because of that, they need to go ahead and get this done with Micah Parsons. That's my opinion. Had they not done that with Dak and CeeDee, my opinion may very well have been different.
Because
I believe that if you don't sign Micah and you ship him off, you're admitting that the Dak Prescott contract was a bad contract. I believe that you are, whether or not you're coming out and saying it, you are basically admitting quietly that the Dak Prescott contract was not a good one. My opinion.
I think because of the Dak Prescott, you can't do it. I kind of think the opposite. They because they did it, they can't afford to do the Micah deal.
But because they did it, they have to go all in and they have to pay everybody else. If you want to win now. If you don't want to win now, if you want to rebuild, if you want to get first round draft picks and build for the future, then you don't give Dak Prescott that deal when you did.
Yeah, it's a mess. And of course it's a mess. It's the Cowboys. It's Jerry Jones. Of course it's a mess. I think he plays out the deal as it stands, unless he wants to take a discount. Look, if he takes a discount, the Cowboys will give it to him. But he doesn't want to do that. All right, we'll come back. What did Travis Kelce have to say from Chiefs camp? We'll check in from St. Joe next.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. The summer concert series back in Wichita-Nafsker Park this weekend. Series returns Friday. Monterey Jack live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Enjoy free live music, food trucks, Friday night fun all summer long. You can find the full schedule at kfhradio.com. We come back in, and we are headed up to St. Joe. Let's check in from Chiefs camp, Tommy. Still waiting on official starter reps or anything like that. I think that comes today. Don't hold me to that. Can't remember their training camp schedule, but I think that usually comes today with Andy Reid. Look, it's very likely going to be anybody that's dealing with an injury is not going to play. I'm just going to take a guess here. So we won't see Rashee Rice. We won't see Hollywood Brown. Not sure on Xavier Worthy. So we'll deal with that. And the starters will play like one series, maybe like four or five snaps, and that'll be it. And then it'll be all backups the rest of the way. That would be my guess. I think the more interesting piece of, because I do think there is one, how many reps does Josh Simmons play? How many reps, who starts at right tackle? What about the defensive rookies? Jalen Royals, is he going to get some? I think those are the things that become more interesting to watch.
And I don't know if you saw this or not, but apparently Rashee Rice had a groin injury and he didn't practice yesterday. And so that's according to ESPN, that he spent the entire time kind of off to the side working with trainers. And apparently it was a groin. Of course, we don't know his status. We don't know what the NFL is going to do. I would imagine that comes sooner rather than later. But that is also something to keep our eyes on, that he was dealing with that. I would imagine, my gut tells me, we're not going to see many of those guys at all in this first preseason game. Or if we do, it'll be very, very limited.
Yeah, I want to see, boy, I want to see Simmons play a little bit. I want to see Kingsley Suamataia. I want to see left guard. What does that end up looking like? I want to see Jalen Royals play. I do. I'd like to see all the defensive guys play. I'd be good if they played a half, right? Like the problem defensively is, though, that, man, defenses don't show you anything. So I don't remember how much Spags has these rookies play historically off the top of my head. Like, how much did Trent McDuffie play when he was a rookie? How much did George Karloftis play when he was a rookie? I don't recall. So I don't know if they get much benefit out of those reps if they're not going to show anything, because Spags is a mad scientist back there. I want to see the young guys play a little bit, because I think the Chiefs are going to maybe need them a little bit more than they thought they would to start the year with all these other injuries and these things that they're dealing with.
Yeah, I don't want to see Karloftis. I don't want to see
I don't want to see
Bolton.
Guys.
I don't want to see the guys that just signed contracts with the Chiefs. Like, as far as I'm concerned, wrap them up and get them ready for week number one. I don't want to see Chris Jones, and I'm sure we won't. But I wouldn't mind getting a good look at Omar Norman Lott. I wouldn't mind getting a good look at Ashton Gelati. Like, those guys, I wouldn't mind, for at least a couple of drives, getting them on the field, getting them some reps, and seeing how that all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, get them out there. Get them out there, let them run. Don't you think they're going to need these rookies more than you thought at the beginning of the season?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that especially opposite of Chris Jones on the defensive front, that's why I'm really excited, at least through training camp, to hear about the development and the progress of Norman Lott. He could end up being a very essential piece of this Chiefs defense right away. Kind of the same thing with Jelani. He could come in and be an impact player, even if it's just rotational, you know, and come in and have some good snaps and kind of be that depth piece. I think that could be a big impact too.
I love the if everybody's healthy prospects of the Chiefs offense. I think everybody knows that if they listen to this show. But we have to be willing to admit that it's going to probably take a little bit longer than we anticipated because of injuries, because of everything else. And in that circumstance, then probably the defense, maybe they'll need to lean into the defense a little more than we thought they would have to, you know, to start things off. So we'll see. I don't know. The offense I have more of a recall on with Andy Reid than the defense. And on the offense, usually the first game is a series. The second game has kind of morphed into more of like a quarter now, right? Like a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. And then the third game they don't play. Right? Then the third game they don't play.
He doesn't have anybody play. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we can expect. I wouldn't expect Andy Reid to do anything different. The only other thing is I cannot imagine Brown or Rice play. Worthy, we'll see, because his is a concussion. I'm not 100% sure on that. So if there's ever a time for Royals to get some run, like you're going to get a series with Mahomes, I hope this forces Royals to play, because there are going to be times. I mean, you can see it from a mile away with Royals, to me. Like everything we're hearing, everything we're seeing, like everything that's happening, he is going to be a thing this year. He's going to have to be, but I think that also he can be based on ability and some of the work he's been doing. He's not going to be a nothing for this team this year. What was he, a fourth round pick? He'll be a factor.
Yeah, I really like his position that he's in right now, because remember with both Rice and Worthy in previous years, there were tons of expectations on both of their shoulders right out of the gate. Because they needed them. They needed them big time. And especially like with Worthy last year, when Rice went down with the injury and Brown was injured. Like,
and he wasn't ready.
Right? He was, neither one of those guys were ready at the very beginning of the season. It's a little bit different with Royals. And I know health is a big factor on this and what ends up happening with Worthy and with Brown and then Rice's suspension and all of that. But I don't feel like there are these massive expectations on Jalen Royal's shoulders. I don't feel like there's the weight of the world on his shoulders right out of the gate to be this super productive wide receiver. There were moments, I remember this, you and I on this show, in both Rashee Rice's rookie year and Xavier Worthy's rookie year, we're having conversations about, are these guys disappointments because they're not producing early on?
Did we have it with Rice? I know we had it with Worthy.
Like early on in their rookie season. Like, and it's like, just wait. Like it takes a while for them to come around as rookies in Andy Reid's system.
We had it with Hardman.
Yep.
We had it with Sky Moore.
Yep.
We had it with Worthy.
Yeah.
I don't remember having it with Rice.
I think we did to an extent.
I think expectations for him were a little bit lower for whatever reason. I
mean, he was drafted
high.
He's
probably the best. He's probably the best of that group, by the way. But I think look.
I don't feel that way with Royals. I don't feel like he's going to have these expectations on his shoulders.
But I think he can. It's like a hunch, maybe. The circumstances right now have created this opportunity for a guy who, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had almost no expectations for. I don't know that our expectations change because he's a fourth round pick and all these things, but the opportunity's there. And he seems to be maybe a little more ready to seize it. I'm not saying he's going to be more talented or a better receiver than Worthy or Rice. I don't think that's the case. I just think he could get there a little quicker than those guys. And the Chiefs kind of need him to. Right. This is an opportunity for him to come in and do something. He does a lot of the same things according to, and I didn't watch him play a lot in college or anything like that. But when he was drafted, you know, the comps were kind of Worthy and Rice, kind of the same type of, you know, player that can catch it and make something happen after he catches it. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of Travis Kelce early on. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be all over Kelce props to start the year. All over. They got to have him right now. He looks like he's ready to be a receiver, all of these things. And for the first couple of weeks, when they're playing really good teams, they're going to have him, because I don't know if, I mean, we don't expect Rice to be there. Who knows about Hollywood Brown and his availability? I think Worthy would be there at that point. Man, I think they're going to, I think Kelsey's going to start this season off with a bang. Just a hunch. Here's what he had to say yesterday. He was asked a couple of things. Look, a lot of it's the same thing he always says. Why is he so animated at camp? Well, because these are the building blocks to a championship. And I agree with him, by the way, but it's kind of a rinse, wash, repeat. But he was asked about the Super Bowl last year and if it lingers and how often he thinks about it. And he was like, not at all. Like, that was gone a lot. I think he said something to the effect of that was gone much sooner than you would think. You believe that? I don't know that I believe that. Look at him. Like, you don't think that's stuck in his head? Mahomes says it all the time. Yeah, we think about it all the time. Kelsey's trying to, like, say, I don't know, we've washed our hands. I doubt it. I think Kelsey's thinking about it every day.
I think, oh, I'm sure that he, you know, it gives that motivation. I actually think that for a guy like Travis Kelsey, when there is adversity, when things don't go perfectly for him, that's when you want to get out of his way. That's when he's going to be more fired up. And when you're winning a bunch all in a row, like
Cook early this year,
it's like, hey, he can just sort of relax and enjoy it. But I think when things get difficult, that's when the Travis Kelsey we know comes out to play. Remember, like, I'll never forget the Christmas Day game when they lost to the Raiders and a couple of years ago. And the record wasn't very good, and there were so many questions about whether or not they were good enough, all of that. And he and Mahomes are, you know, he's getting into it with Andy Reid, and he and Mahomes are upset, and he's throwing things on the sideline. And I'm like, better watch him. Like, this is where he's going to go off. And then they go and win the Super Bowl that year. Like, that's when Travis Kelsey is at his best. And so I actually think that the loss in the Super Bowl to the Eagles might have been the best thing to ever happen to Travis Kelsey going into this season, and being able to refocus and be able to, you know, try to get them to where they need to be. I really think that could.
He might have retired.
He might have. He might have just rode off into the sunset, and nobody could have blamed him for doing that.
I don't totally disagree with that. I think that, you know, the two people that are the most motivated because of a loss are the two most important people, maybe the three: Jones, Kelsey, Mahomes, right? Like, they will never have the opportunity to win three Super Bowls in a row again, because Kelsey's not going to play that long. So I don't think Jones will. Maybe he does. Mahomes will. But collectively, that group is never going to have that opportunity again. And I think that really pisses them off. And yes, them pissed off is the best version of them. I think, you know, Mahomes always finds it internally. He's like Brady that way. Like, he'll always go find it when somebody's sliding him to use it. I don't think a lot of people were actually sliding Mahomes. I think he's reached this status of, like, everyone knows he's the GOAT. Everyone's fine with him not putting up the best numbers for the last couple of years because he just wins all these. But, like, his status in reality is unfazed. Travis Kelsey took real heat last year. Travis Kelsey was, those conversations was, he's old, he's washed, he's having too much fun with Taylor Swift. Like, that's what he had to hear for an entire season. If you don't think he cares about that or is motivated about that, just look at him. He completely transformed his body. Now, I don't think that's because it wasn't in good shape last year. I don't subscribe to that at all. Not one bit. What I do subscribe to is he's redefining what he's going to be for this team, and he's going to cook. I don't know what kind of numbers, like, I don't know if I think he'll put up, you know, vintage Kelsey numbers over the course of an entire season. I think he will early in the season because he can, and now they need him to, and then they'll start to get all their weapons back and he can kind of fit more in lately. Man, I'm telling you, I'm all over his props early this season. We're not making any official predictions yet, Tommy. We'll do that closer to the start of the season. Do you have any idea yet where you are leaning on a Chiefs finish this year?
Like, where they in the season, or a win total in the regular season? What do you
know? Where they in the season?
I mean, I think they win the Super Bowl. I mean, like, I don't know how you cannot predict that. I think there are so many different things that can go into play for that. But yeah, I mean, I've been,
you can predict it because you can just say the Eagles will win again.
Yeah, but yeah. I've been on the other end of it before, where I've been like, yeah, I have to believe it to see it. I don't think they're gonna make it happen. But like, I can't not pick them. With the way that things have played out, they've ran everything back and they've gotten better in the areas they've needed to get better at, and they've got added motivation. I mean, I think for me, they're my pick.
That's where I am too. That's where I've been. I'm not going to make it yet because what I'm still trying to just like sort through as we get to that point is the margins have been so thin with the Bills and the Ravens, especially. What are the chances there they do that again? What are the chances Mark Andrews catches a ball? You know, what are the chances Josh Allen makes one more play, even though it hasn't been a Josh Allen issue for the Bills in any of these situations? That's what I'm still trying to work through. Just like what are the probabilities that Mahomes can beat both of them again in a season? I don't think the Chiefs will win as many games in the regular season, although I do think they'll be a better team this year.
I was about to say that. I think that there's a pretty strong likelihood that they will be a more talented and better team than a year ago, but have a worse regular season record. Right. I think that is absolutely on the table.
I think it is. I think it's true. What does that mean? Well, it means maybe they don't play at home in the postseason. So, because the Bills play in a much worse division, the Ravens are, you know, if they have to go to one of those places, and they proved they could do that 2 years ago, I get it. That's the last, those are like the last little pieces, but I'm with you. Like, it's staring at us in the face. They ran it back. They almost certainly, I mean, I cannot envision, other than injury, a scenario where their offense isn't better this year than it was a year ago. And when they get Rashee Rice back, and if they ever have them all, it's going to be like those kinds of offenses for the Chiefs over the years. The defense, if they are as good or even a little worse, I'm having a hard time not putting them there too. And that seems boring, but man, they're better than they have. They're better than they were a year ago. Tommy, I think they're better than they were 2 years ago.
I mean, if
Kelsey's back.
Yeah, I really think that for me, it was solidified with their draft and knowing the way that these rookies have, you know, stepped up and you've got,
if Simmons is even,
you've got yourself a potential, you know, franchise building block at left tackle long term.
But he doesn't have to be that. He legitimately just has to be as good
but
as
they,
Orlando
But they
Brown
may
was.
Very well have that. Like that's what makes that draft pick so brilliant for Brett Veach. I mean, they had a phenomenal draft. And at that point, I'm like, I know it's really difficult to put expectations on rookies and sometimes not the greatest decision to make to put those expectations on them. But I think that was the icing on the cake for me to solidify. Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be right back where they were a year ago.
I started, you know, when I've gone on the national, that's what I keep telling. I'm like, guys, like I don't think people realized until the Super Bowl just how bad their offensive line situation was with pass blocking last year. I really don't think, because they found ways to win those games, that people had a good grasp of that. If Simmons is even a little below average, like that's the bar. He has to, the only bar he needs to pass for them to be better there is like the worst. And he will be, right? If he stays healthy. Now they did lose Joe Tooney. So they have another, there's that. But again, as we've talked about, Joe Tooney wasn't even playing left guard most of last season. So did they lose Joe Tooney at left guard? Not really, because he wasn't there anyway. He had to go out to try to solve the problem at left tackle. I'm with you. We'll make those predictions a little closer to the season.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are joined by our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. Fitz, we are inching closer and closer to football time here. Are you ready for this as we have polls and all the fun things we've got going on?
I think I am. I think I'm finally getting ready for football because we've had a lot of media opportunities in the last few days, and that kind of gets your juices going for football season. And man, I was just realizing that the game is 2 weeks from Saturday.
Yeah, it's coming up quick, and obviously it's a you know, overseas international flight and travel and all the different logistics that go into that. From what you've been able to learn, what does the process look like for the team? What will their, you know, practices look like and travel and all of that to get ready for this game?
Yeah, they head over, I believe, Wednesday, arriving at some point early Thursday. Maybe. They have a practice on Thursday that we'll have some media access to. What's funny about it is the game's played on grass, but the practice field is not natural. It's artificial. So it's, they got to take both pairs of shoes. But there's not a lot over there other than the game, which is fine. It clears me more time to research pubs of Dublin.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about a book. So it's research. It's there research. The pubs of Dublin. The problem with my research is I won't remember it. But
how many days are you going to be there, Fitz?
We arrive on Monday morning. We leave Sunday.
Lord.
And arrive on Monday morning. We got some touristy things on Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, the Wednesday one is a distillery tour, so that's touristy and right in my alley. So, yeah, we got to remember to do work. The good news is the times are so different there. I'll be able to do my work in the morning and then post it at basically the same time I do here because I will put things off to the last second. So it's going to work out. It's going to work out well for me. I'm happy. I'm ready to do this, guys. It's my first trip to the homeland, and there's a possibility by game time I'm king of Ireland. But I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Fitzgerald,
right.
Are you kidding me?
Right,
like you'll be drowning in Guinness and Jameson, right?
I hope so. I mean, look, we've talked a lot about this cancer crap. But if this is how I go, I can live with that. Well, actually, I can't live with that. But yeah, that would be good. You know, how'd he die? The cancer? No, Guinness poisoning. He had way too much Guinness. No one's ever died that way, but he outdid the Irishman. It'd be a great gravestone.
You may like run into, you know, long lost cousins that have the Fitzgerald name. And
yep.
You may.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe a huge family reunion.
My fear is to run into the Irish version of me. Yeah, I don't think any of us want that. But here's what's interesting, though, is I considered going to the South because that's where my ancestors are. But we literally can't trace our heritage because there were so many James Fitzgerald that left Southern Ireland at the same time. We have no idea which was ours. It's a little sticky. I'm sure the Irish could figure it out, but that would take time on my part and less time in the pubs. So that's, you right. See the quandary right there.
Yeah, no, that priorities seem accurate to me. Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, gopowercat.com. We get our first poll. It is the coaches poll, and K-State comes in at 20. Arizona State, the highest ranked Big 12 team at 11. That's fair. Iowa State's at 21. Texas Tech's at 24. BYU's at 23. Kansas is getting votes. This is pretty normal looking for the Big 12 in a top 25 poll, right? A bunch of teams in the bottom half because nobody ever knows what to do with them. But I think the nation's paying attention to Kansas State, and that 20 ranking is about a good spot for them to start.
Yeah. And this will be a matchup of ranked teams over in Ireland. And I don't think they've had that before. So this is a significant game for the season. It's odd to have this game, you know, the first game of the season, literally for everyone to be this important, maybe to a conference race. But this could decide winner into the Big 12 championship by season's end and loser out. So there's a lot of stakes on the table here.
My question with Avery Johnson, we've talked about him obviously at length throughout the offseason, is not about necessarily his, you know, talent level and how dynamic he is and athleticism and all of that. But I'm sure that a huge focus for him in this next year at Kansas State is decision-making, is maturing, is limiting interceptions and that sort of thing. If he can do that, I mean, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the nation if he's able to combine the sheer talent that he has with really solid decision-making, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up because that was my topic of my daily delivery video on YouTube and over at GoPowerCat today was Avery 2.0 and his level of self-awareness. There's about 45 seconds in the middle of that video of him talking about everything he did wrong last year. And it is a moment of self-reflection that shows why I think Avery's going to be a great quarterback, because he has this awareness of basically everything people complained about, fans complained about, Avery's aware of, and he knows that he takes ownership. Does he blame drop passes, miss blocks, wrong routes? None of that. It's all about him and how he needs to get better at doing his job, and that's the kind of leader he is. And I thought his answer was really, it was a deep reflection, and I thought it was really good.
Another guy that we've talked about, and I want to bring this up to you and see what you think. So Dylan Edwards is a bit of a wild card. Mm-hmm. I am degenerate enough to have joined for the first time a fantasy college football league. Never done it before, but the reason I bring it up that's so interesting is on like the player rankings that it's more than I can handle. Dylan Edwards is like top 10, top 5 some places. And I'm trying to figure out why that would be. I think that the prognosticators saw the bowl game and sort of project that kind of production out versus, and obviously there's bigger opportunity with DJ Giddens gone, but do you think the workload in the bowl game is sustainable? How close to that do you think most games will be for him, just as far as opportunities?
Yeah, I think coming out of it healthy every week probably isn't. But I'm not a fantasy football guy. I focus my fantasies elsewhere. That's another topic. I think his ability to run, receive, and return leads to that high ranking that he could pile up, a lot of fantasy points. And look, we talked to Coach Katzen, the special teams coach, and he's not sure how much he's going to have Dylan because he is the starting running back.
I wouldn't use him much.
Yeah, and I think they'll just use him in precise speed-filled situations unless, in punt return, Sterling Lockett proves to be a big threat, and that'll take Dylan off the hook totally. So that's who I think will be returning punts. We'll see how this all plays out, but the key to all of this is Dylan and Avery and some of these key players staying relatively healthy because you can't replicate particularly Avery Johnson, but Dylan Edwards to a degree. They might have some young guys that can do the same things, but we saw in the bowl game how good this entire group, including backup running back Joe Jackson, who's apparently had a good camp, how dangerous the whole group of offensive skill position talent, how they can really rack it up if they get going. And I think they learned a lot about play calling in that bowl game, what the team's really comfortable with, too.
It's extremely hard to predict the success level of freshmen coming in, but how much of an impact right away do you think a guy like Lincoln Cure can have as a freshman at tight end?
In some ways, I think it's limited because the room is so crowded. It's a really good room. They returned 4 guys who scored touchdowns last year, and he's the 5th. But another factor is he stayed in high school, which I support, through prom and more importantly in this case, track season, so he could set that state record. And so he's kind of a little bit behind in his growth, but everything I'm hearing is he is all in, and he is learning very quickly. And his talent is obvious on the practice field to the coaches. I mean, his athletic ability is off the charts for a guy his size, and I think they're going to have to find ways to use him, and if that means designing specific schemes with him on the field, which I think they will do early in the season, then that's what they need to do. I'm very interested to see how much he plays in Dublin, how much they have installed for him or trust him, or that he's absorbed enough of the offense. And that'll be really telling, I think, for the rest of the year.
Tim Fitzgerald, we've got two more Saturdays that we will not have college football, and then it's Dublin. What do you guys have going for us at Go Power Cat to get ready?
A podcast drops at 10 a.m. on YouTube. It'll pop up on after it premieres over on YouTube at 11 a.m. at Go Power Cat. And, yeah, we've had a ton of coverage in the last week or so. Bunch of interviews of players and Coach Van Malone up on our YouTube site right now. But more importantly, my guys are doing some really cool stuff, coverage this year at Go Power Cat. We got a great group of young guys that are going to be helping us out. And we're at 50% off right now. All 24/7 sites are. If you're a KU fan, you can get the same deal, 50% off an annual subscription right now at Go Power Cat and all 24/7 sites.
That's a pretty good timing as the season's about to get started. Fitz, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, boys.
Here's Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, GoPowerCat.com. I'm fascinated by this Dylan Edwards thing, Tommy. Dylan Edwards is as big or in, you know, he's larger than Deuce Vaughn was. And I wish, and maybe we'll talk to Fitz about this next week. Like, what was the plan with Deuce Vaughn in the beginning, right? Like, did they ever envision him taking that? Because if Dylan Edwards can handle the workload based on all the things we know about him, what is the ceiling for him? I think it's high. I just don't know that anybody's ever envisioned him getting that kind of workload.
Yeah. I mean, going back to Deuce Vaughn, I mean, I remember he was really highly regarded coming in. Like, yeah, I think I'm pretty sure he was a starter as a freshman, I believe. Like, for pretty early on, he had that starting role, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a little bit different than the Edwards situation.
What was their plan with him, I think, is what I'm more curious about, right? Did they see him in his size? Because that's all it ever is with Dylan, is like, oh, he's probably too small to handle a DJ Giddens workload. But K-State's the school that's done that historically. He did. He had his freshman year, he had 123 carries, and then it jumped pretty high. All right, that'll do it for us on Sports Daily. Quick thanks to Crestview Country Club for their great support of the program and a programming note as it pertains to Crestview Country Club. We will be live there Monday morning for the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament. Looking forward to that, Tommy. We'll have more tomorrow for you. Should be a lot of fun. Jalen Thompson will join us as the Royals get ready for that stretch of games they got to win a bunch of. We'll have that and more. It's Sports Daily. Jake Albrock, Tommy Caster for Max Power. We'll see you tomorrow.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Get into hockey, basketball, and more of your favorite sports with same-game parlays, live betting, and more. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards, payback, and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance, every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.